Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Can't wait to get everyone's reaction to the $10 million Tab Everest and that great crowd of 33,512. But all the indicators were fantastic. Turnover, a record for a New South Wales meeting, pushing that 50 million mark and 28 million plus on the Everest alone, which was quite simply brilliant. And apart from that, it wasn't a bad performance from Red Zell as well, who, according to Peter and Paul Snowden, has pulled up remarkably well for the Triple Crown syndication. It cost them only $120,000 at the Magic Millions, and now it's just returning that in spades after five straight wins. But the big one, the big daddy of them all, was the $10 million Tab Everest, a man who was soaking it all up, and I reckon even taken aback a little bit and surprised by the actual overall success of the race. Just the how big it actually was is Ronnie Duffersey, who joins us. G'day, Ronnie.
Knowing it was going to be big, but you're right. Well, I couldn't have expected how big it was, and just the feel of the day was just different than any other carnival day. Mm. It was a different atmosphere, probably a different sort of array of people there. It was just amazing, and I just can't explain it. You know, it was good. I think it was a good value day for people, considering, you know, was the price to get in and the packages that were on offer, and people reacted to that, and they put on a show after the last, which brought a new influx of people through. I'm blown away by it.
We are a very cynical bunch in Sydney, so it was terrific to see the public get behind this concept, which was brand spanking new and less than 12 months in the making. So it was, by any measure, an outrageous success. And now Red Zell looks to go to Melbourne for what will be the Darley Sprint on November 11. And clearly it looks like the Snowdens enjoy the spacing of the races between the runs for Red Zell, and more importantly, Red Zell appreciates that spacing.
He's just a quiet achiever, isn't he?
Yeah.
Considering, you know, he's yet to finish further back than second since the spring last year after he won the Mum. And he's just slipped the radar. He's you know, with me he has. I know he's good, but he just keeps jumping that bar. You know, we can talk about the race later. There was Vega Magic was so gallant in defeat, I thought. Mm. But we can chat on that soon.
Yeah, I'll get the opinion of all the runners throughout the Everest, Ronnie, from yourself and our Melbourne man in Dean Lester. And we were lucky enough to, Dino, good morning, buddy, to chat with Karen McAvoy earlier on this morning after the success he had at Saturday at Royal Randwick. And then he obviously knew he was on a good thing yesterday, and it won like a good thing out there at the Cranbourne Cup. And it was terrific to see Foxwood and Kieran have further success. Good morning, Dino.
Yeah, morning, TK. It's been a wonderful weekend for Kieran. Oh. And he put on an absolute clinic in that Cranbourne Cup yesterday. The way he rode it, and he did have a bit up his sleeve, it was a great win. But no, Saturday was an amazing day, and to experience it from Caulfield was exciting. So I couldn't only imagine what it was like at Randwick.
I'm not going to sell Caulfield short either. It was a terrific day of racing. The Caulfield Guineas providing that massive upset with a wayward Kemantari getting beaten by Mighty Boss. And a massive day out, Dino, for OTI and that syndicate in those famous colours, with three winners on such a prestigious day. Garlo Chop winning the Caulfield Stakes. You had Lord Fandango winning the Herbert Power, and Aloisi winning the 1,000 guineas, wasn't it?
Yep, it was a great day for Terry Henderson and his team at OTI, and highlighted by the Group 1 successes of Galo Shop, who has been an amazing horse for them, because he's raced, I think he's raced in France, America, Australia, Hong Kong, Dubai for OTI over the past two or three years. So he's been a real flag bearer for them, and to win another Group 1. And his record at 2,000 is amazing. And then for Aloisia, who I think, you know, I've thought for weeks we'll win the Oaks. That was a little pick-up on the way through, winning the 1,000 guineas.
Yeah, Dino, we'll get back to the Everest in just a moment. Just want to give everybody a little bit of an update on Bonneval, who was, I thought, disappointing on the weekend. But Murray Baker, and there's no better trainer than Murray Baker, he was sort of scratching his head, I think. But there were some reports that she was galloped on, some reports that she was lame. But the reports, well, this morning, are that she's fine now.
Well, she got her vet clearance, I think, even yesterday.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, that's all good news because she's the pre-post favourite for the Caulfield Cup.
Yep, so she should be. She was far from disappointing on Saturday. If you backed her, she was, but yeah. If you're backing her for Saturday, you're not too worried.
I think these stewards' reports can put punters off now and again. You know, they pick up, oh, this thing's pulled up lame, I don't want to back a slow horse. So I think it's getting to the stage where these vets have got to put in, you know, grade one lame, grade two lame,
grade
three lame.
I agree. Because lame can be...
Yeah, there's lame and there's lame.
Yeah, well, lame can be like, got to go for a spell lame, or...
It's like a cramp.
They write it in vet reports, so why can't they write it in stewards' reports? Just grade one lame, grade two lame, you know? They know what they're talking about. It's their stuff.
Yeah, I think Ronnie and Dino, well, we have it in the world of sport, where now you go, oh, he's got a grade one or a grade two calf tear or hamstring tear or, you know... So
that's how the vets talk to the stables. So if the on-course vets could do that, it would be great.
Mm. So it is that. But the good news is that Bonneval's fine, and Murray Baker will have it to cherry ripe. Have her cherry ripe, I should say, very much so. Let's get, if we can. I just wanted to let you know we had a chat earlier on this morning, Duff and Dino, with Peter Volandis, the CEO of Racing New South Wales, and congratulated him quite clearly and. He should be basking in the glory of this success, along with all his office and people at the ATC. But in particular, a very, very tough crowd in Sydney that all got behind this event. But we're talking about year number two and how to make it bigger. And Pete believes that it's still a massive possibility that this will be moving the Everest, but it will be moving to under lights on a Friday night. Here's what Pete had to say to myself and Slatzer earlier on this morning. How early could we see it under lights, and is that your preference?
Look, the lights is definitely an objective. You know, we want to experiment, and if you're going to experiment, you experiment with the biggest product you've got, and that's the Everest. And what a great event it would be on a Friday night in Sydney. You know, from Randwick being close to the central business district, you have the light rail going, you just jump on a light rail and up you go to Randwick. The ATC are working hard behind the scenes trying to get the development application in, you know, consulting the residents and the council and state government. It's not going to be an easy task, but it's one that we've got in our sights for next year.
For next year.
And we always said that the second one we're going to try to put under lights. It's also got a positive for us for international audience because, as I said, this Everest has captured international attention. So if we can tap into Asia and we can tap into the United States and into England, this will become a $30 million event.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, participants? Did you hear that, jockeys and trainers and owners? This could become a $30 million event.
Yeah, well, it's mind-boggling to think, you know, that they're thinking of next year, which is all good, and then hopefully they do get some, you know, legislation through with the councils. It's not easy work, and I'm wondering whether how much a hit they're going to take on turnover with a night meeting. Surely they wouldn't hold as much as the way we educate.
Afternoon's a punting day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Our punters are educated to bet Saturday afternoon. I'm sure they'll react, I would think the big group ones in Melbourne at Moonee Valley wouldn't hold as much as their, you know, if they had a Cox Plate under lights, would that hold as much as a Cox Plate on Saturday?
That's why they haven't gone that way.
Yeah.
It's just too cost, you know, it costs too much in turnover.
Would the international turnover compensate that? I'm sure. Well, is it all about turnover? Is it about the promotion? That's the things that Racing New South Wales and the ATC will work out.
Yes. I wonder if that... Well, I think there is an understanding that Caulfield meeting will stay with the Everest, which is... Yeah, well, that would have helped your meeting as well, Dino, wouldn't it? The fact that there was more interest in racing overall certainly helps turnover in both states.
No doubt. People had their spot, like... the horses hadn't come into the yard for the Caulfield Guineas, but people had their spots in the grandstand to watch the big screen.
Terrific.
To watch the Everest. And they had the effects mics on full. We felt like we were at Randwick with the sound. It was amazing.
Good stuff.
Good.
Yeah. That roar at the start, it went right through the track. It was fantastic.
Yeah, which is normally reserved, isn't it, for that first Tuesday in November on Melbourne Cup Day, which is still something special. Like,
we've never heard it in Sydney. We've never heard a roar at a start in Sydney ever. And no one was told to roar. It just happened.
Yeah, which is even better. Even better. Now, let's go through, and I'll get a quick comment from Duff first, Dino, if that's okay, and then you on each runner if I run through it. Red Zell, quite clearly, Duff.
Yeah, he's just Mr. Professional. Kieran knows him well. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted Hudson to kick up. He wanted to slow the speed for 300 metres or whatever he could get out of him. And that's exactly what happened. He just travels so sweetly. And when he does quicken, he gets him off the bit quickly. And he just puts that 100-metre sprint in that puts him away, and then he just holds it. And that was his great strength there. And that's been his great strength for the last 12 months. He was, I'd say a deserved winner.
Dino?
Yeah, he's just a ripping horse. Amazing to think that he came down here and he won the Heath about 13 or 14 months ago, and then he won on Oaks Day, and he's just built. And I think the way that the Snowdens have managed him and built his confidence, travelled him a lot, Duff. He's been to Melbourne a few times, been to Brisbane, seasoned him right up. I think it's just all that package stood him in good stead come Saturday.
Vega Magic. Geez, it ran 1600.
I think he's the best sprinter in Australia.
I don't think there's any doubt now, really.
There's no doubt in the world. I think they got their tactics horribly wrong.
Terrible.
He jumped half a length in front. We know he was the best fighter in the race. It was a title day, and he treated it like an exhibition fight. He just didn't leave the corner. He was like the world title was next week. I didn't like the tactics at all.
Didn't ride him like a good horse.
He should have rode him like a good horse.
That's what I mean.
And kept pushing forward. You'd say,
Have a go.
Absolutely.
He would have. He would have outfought a lot of those horses.
He's tough.
Yeah. But we didn't get to see that toughness. I'd have to be critical.
It sounds like Dino agrees. Dino, Brave Smash, blinkers on. They do make a difference, don't they?
Well, Darren, we kept saying it, and when he knows his horses so well, he was adamant that he was a worthy runner in the field, and the blinkers would do the trick. I mean, he got beaten in a fairly moderate race last start, but he lifted on the right day and ran a fantastic race.
Ronnie, I was on Chautauqua, mate. I know people will blame me, but I was reluctantly on it, thinking I knew the pattern was going to be against it, but I still had to stick.
Yeah, look,
you get my theory?
he did his thing again. He's just... I think he was unlucky. I think still trying to work out how it didn't rain, and the track was just too hard for him.
Mm.
It's a simple, not too hard for him, but it's just.
It looked like it was giving out a little bit. They were running fast, but it looked like there was just sort of a bit of kickback early in the day when we were watching it.
There was kickback.
The track's playing fast. It's simple. The track was not hard. Mm. Every jockey I spoke to said, there's a nice give in the track. So it was fine. But. The track's just playing fast at the moment. He can't run those sectionals from the position he puts himself in. Thought he rode him perfectly, no issues at all, and just he wanted rain, put it that way.
Yeah, and many, many parts of Sydney got it all morning. Good soaking drizzle all morning, but not at Randwick, which was good for officials and good for the crowd and good for the ATC, so I'll cop it on the chin. Tulip ran out of her skin. English got a long way back, Dino.
Yeah, she did. She's been doing that. She's been gradually getting further and further back in her race.
Back,
and look, she ran a solid race, but the mathematics made it hard for her at Chautauqua, those sort of horses.
Can't win from back there, Ronnie.
Well, you can, but a lot's got to go right. It's as simple as that.
I thought she ran well, but she finished what, sixth?
Yeah, she wasn't beaten that far. She was beaten under 3 lengths, 2.8 lengths.
Hootson, clearly innocent, never really fired.
probably wants 1400 now, and 1300, 1400, and what another one, Notty style. He wanted a drop of rain coming into that race as well.
Redkirk Warrior, Dino, straight horse.
Well, yeah, well, straight because it's low pressure, or 1400, because okay. they just don't go hard up the straight, and that was a totally different pressure for him on Saturday. I think if he's around a turn, probably better at 1400.
Okay. And Dino, you mentioned some kickback. There is a school of thought, Duff, that She Will Reign maybe swallowed a clog of mud or dirt or
yeah, they say she
grass
was coughing
or.
Yeah, they say she was coughing for 20 minutes after. She was fine after the race, but then she started coughing. So maybe something's got up her throat there, and she'll go for a spell now. I think she did get galloped on as well. So a few little excuses for her, although she got herself into a good spot. But obviously that's not the real She Will Reign.
Dino, amazing, Karen McAvoy, you know, after She Will Reign, I think he could have jumped off Red Zell, you know, but he stuck solid. He chose Red Zell, and his loyalty proved very, very beneficial.
Absolutely. And, she had an interesting challenge on Saturday, She Will Reign, coming back from the one run in Melbourne. And, obviously things haven't gone right on the day, but, he went with the rock-solid sprinter that he knew well also.
Can you tackle this issue for me, Ronnie, please? Some people saying in her time. I was receiving some text messages this morning. Ran a faster time than the Everest. Which is true, that's true, but wouldn't...
That doesn't mean she wins the Everest.
No. She finishes
top five,
though.
She was first emergency, so she was legitimate, now the one to beat in the consolation, wasn't she?
And won comfortably.
Mm. Yeah, I think I was interested in Dominic Byrne's tweet.
Yeah, what did he say?
He says after all the things he puts in, he's array of computers and his figures, and he said he has her running fourth.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I said what did I say?
Yeah, that's just an educated man's opinion.
Yeah,
that
well, she's going well. She's classy.
Who knows what spot she would have taken? You know, whose place would she have taken if she'd got into the field? What barrier would she have had? It's easy to say, she's run faster time. She would have won the
all of that. Yeah.
But
all
she was a good bet in the consolation, seeing she was first emergency for the main event.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. And makes her unluck and all those sorts of things in form. Bonneval. $6.50 at tab.com.au. Dino, Humidor, $6.50. You've got your Caulfield Cup. Tell us about Johannes Vermeer, $7. My God, what a run that was on the weekend. Amelia Star, $7.50. Admire Juice, $8. The Japanese runner now owned by Aussie Interest. Harlem there at $10. Ventura Storm, firm in the market now at $12. John Snow was okay on the weekend, $15. Marmello, $21. It's early days, Dino. I'm not holding you to anything, but have they got it right, the market?
Oh, I've got no knock on really on Bonneville. If she's fit and well, she'll run very well on Saturday. She had a bit of a task, and they rode for luck coming to the corner, and she had to then switch back inside and just had a checkered run. And I just thought Mark Zara rated Galo Shot magnificently in front, so those back markers had a task. Johannes Vermeer was very good, and the form card says that he backs up well. So the 7-day backup might suit him, but maybe the looming danger was at Caulfield, but he was there about 6 hours before the race meeting. Admire Juice went there and had a look on Saturday, and if you've seen footage of that work, you'd be a bit keen to have something on him.
Which one, mate?
Admire Juice.
Yeah.
Terry's the Japanese.
Well, I love the Japanese.
Yeah, we know you.
I love the Japanese. Oh, well, they've got a fair record too, haven't they?
He worked with a really good group two, group three horse in Burning Front, and just made him look stupid. He was he really, really ran away from him the last bit of the work, and he's the X factor in the race come Saturday.
Can I ask you, Dino, and get the opinion of Duff as well, will he race like the Japanese normally raced? Is he one of those horses that goes forward or be in the leading bunch and, you know, just tries to prove how tough they are?
Craig Williams said he's got a versatility about him, but ultimately if he's given that opportunity, that's how he'll ride him. Yeah.
Hopefully rides him a little bit better, more aggressive than Vega. And I looked at the
might have been tired from the track work in the morning.
The dogs are barking at Maya Deuce.
Yeah. He went up there just to make sure. I rode it in track work up in Japan, and I think gone back a second time to ride it as well. admired Juice, and he's been out at Werribee constantly, hasn't he, Dino?
Sorry, TK.
He's been out at Werribee constantly with admired Juice. So.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, he's locked onto him pretty early.
And the Japanese, they're more trained along our lines, aren't they, more than the Japanese? The European. So he'd actually do a bit more fair dinkum work out there at Werribee?
Although Darren Wiz had a man with the horse because it's Darren Wiz training.
Yeah.
He went to Japan with the horse. He was with the horse and learnt about the horse for about 8 weeks.
Okay.
Then went through the quarantine with him and now the quarantine in Australia. So, yeah, he's been with the horse now for near on 3 months, so he's got a good handle on him.
Yeah, fantastic. And, again, it was such a stunning weekend. We're going to be taking your thoughts on 13-53-53, all the queries for the boys. Get the text messages pumped up as well. 0419-767-272. 0419-767-272. And we're taking your thoughts about all things building up to the Caulfield Cup. What a lucky period of racing we've got coming up. Well, let's hope it's lucky with the Caulfield Cup, then the Cox Plate, then Derby Day, and then, of course, that first Tuesday in November will be here before we... Let's get back to the open line, 13-53-53, on this edition of Punters Post-Mortem. Dean Lester is our Melbourne expert. He's an expert on all things, and also Ronnie Duffersey. If we build up to the Caulfield Cup and wallow in the success of what was a stunning day of racing at Royal Randwick. In fact, it was funny, Duff, where I was up at French's Forest Junior Sports Saturday morning before having to fly to Melbourne. It rained all morning. It rained all morning, but Randwick didn't quite get that. Let's get to the open line and say morning to Jono. Where are we going?
Justin.
Hello, Justin. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing?
Good, thanks, mate.
Mate, Ronnie, I have to agree with you, but I think you've understated it significantly. That ride of Craig Williams, my God. If he's even watched the Regal Roller race when it won first up from a spell, he sat three wide on a hot pace, put four lengths on him on the turn, and then Brave Smash ran into a neck, but he gave a Brave Smash 6.5 kilos. But that horse was slaughtered on Saturday. Even the stewards report, when he's dropping back, he's racing ungenerously to get cover. He remained three wide the whole race, seven wide at the turn, and he was last. And he got beat a half a length, mate. I mean, good luck to Red Bell. Congratulations on the great ride by McAvoy. But, oh, my God. And Admiral Deuce, he's got the same problem, mate. He's going to have Williams aboard. Mate, I'm nervous to back him. I think he'll win too, but I am nervous beyond Williams. He's slaughtered a few good things recently, and that was one of them.
I know he's a great rider, but I would have thought that he would have learnt. He did ride the horse in the Goodwood. He sat outside in a high-pressure handicap there. He got headed and fought back. He must have known he was on such a fighting horse. So, yeah, look, good call. That's all I can say.
Can I generalise?
Yes.
To you and Dino, as a punter, you'd rather your jockey show some initiative and get beaten, wouldn't you, then? then
on grand final day, especially.
You know, then...
Was it a team decision?
You know what I mean? To be in the fight instead of just posted and thinking, oh, yeah, I'm no hope here.
I just don't get the dragging back in a 1,200 at Randwick. He didn't sort of just slot in. He will try to slot in. He dragged back.
Can I speak of another one that got dragged back on the weekend?
Mm.
Happy Clapper.
Similar. I reckon Blake would like to have that ride again. Just prior, he come in on English, and his report to the press was a beaten jockey. Well, the pattern's not playing out wide for her today, or didn't work for her today. And he got barrier one on Happy Clapper. He must have just had it in his head. He can't run 2,000 metres. I don't know, but he give up the rail straight away. He got shuffled back. They slowed up, and he looms up 7 and 8 deep, which probably wasn't the place to be. Both rides, I thought, were probably too negative, far too negative. Yep.
We'll be taking your thoughts. Let's get to them. We've got 1,000 callers online. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thanks, Mark.
Right. Look, just on the win of Red Zell, I think that Red Zell has got a little bit of overdrive there, which makes it a bit hard for the back markers. That's just my observation of the races. The horse has been winning since it first started. So, right. But anyway, on top of that, I think there's room for three feature races on the day.
Yep.
I think for 2 weeks after the Epsom, there's room for a weight for age mile. The mile on Saturday was a benchmark 95, so you could easily just step that into a weight for age and get some other comers. The other race that could be another feature is the St. Ledger, which has been a redundant race at the Turf Club for many, many years. And in the past, the St. Ledger has been won by the likes of Peter Pan, Farlap, Tulloch, Bozam, Terrific, Tie the Knot. And then we have 3 weeks away from the Melbourne Carnival. So there's a bit of a lead up there for a 25 or 2600 metre race, just of open category or weight for age. They can please themselves.
Yep. Okay, well done. It was a much better instalment of the St. Ledger. Big Duke was dominant. I take your thoughts regarding the mile race, which was won by Invincibella. The Sydney Stakes is the consolation, isn't it, to the Everest. And we had the second best horse in the country in Happy Clapper in action as well. In the Craven Plate.
Maybe you should run the Turek up there instead of us having a mile race on our day.
Oh, that's the spirit of cooperation we love, Dina.
Yeah, we'll do that because we're busy cleaning the Yarra, so.
Let's keep taking calls. Hello, Wombat. Good morning.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say one thing, mate. I've been going to Melbourne for many years, and I used to do the security on the horses down there.
Yep.
On Saturday, it's the first time ever in Sydney at any meeting in all the years I've been involved in racing that I've had, like, it felt like a Melbourne Spring Carnival event in Sydney, and they really put it on, and, mate, it was an amazing day. It was quite exciting, actually, even listening to you folks, or listening to the Turf and Duff and them talking on the radio going out there. It created a huge excitement, and I think the ATC and Racing New South Wales have done a really tremendous thing for racing here in Sydney, you know.
Well done, mate. Good on you, Wombat.
What I wanted to ask, though, was I just wanted to ask Ronnie Duffy one thing. Mate, I really fell into Who Shot the Barman on the weekend, because the week before he was right up on the pace in the Metropolitan, and, you know, like, and he still finished off at good sectionals. And I thought he might have been a good chance for an upset on Saturday over the 2600. You know, when he came back to scale, Ron, did you have a good look at him after he came back in, and was there a problem with the horse?
No, I didn't see him. I didn't see him come back to scale. He got caught a bit wide there, and I expected a lot more from him as well, because he's such an honest, tough horse. Once he gets into, you know, that fourth and fifth run back, and he gets up to that distance, that 2600. So I must say, he even though he had a little bit of a tough run, I thought he was disappointing.
Yep, there you go. Thank you, Wombat, for your call. Let's go down to Brian and say good morning. Hi, Brian.
Good morning. How are you, gents?
Well, thanks.
Fellas, I just want to know, initially when all the foreign horses were coming over for the Melbourne Cup and so forth, they were in, a lot of them were invited and subsidised. Are all the foreign horses that are coming over now for the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup and all the lead-up races, have they all got to pay their own way now, or are they still subsidised?
I don't think the European Raiders have been subsidised by for the Melbourne Cup, Brian. I think the horses that have been subsidised, and Dino and Duff can correct me here, would be definitely for the Cox Plate. Dino, in the early days?
Well, they've tried to invite.
Because that was an invite. That was an invite race,
tried
right?
Tried a bit of invitation
but
there.
But the others come and race for prize money, Brian. I'm not saying they're not well treated, the connections, when they arrive. You know, but it costs about between, what, 110 and 130,000 to.
Yeah, well, that's why the payment to 10th in the Melbourne Cup, to try and say that, well, you can, you know, top 10 finish, you can probably cover your expenses. But, they have to pay their way.
Yeah, so that's how it works. And aren't they coming now? And we expect that they will now come for the Everest as well. The difference is that, you know, arguably we've got the world's best sprinters, which means you've got to travel, leave your home stable and country and halfway around the world and acclimatise and then take on the very best of what they do. But I think with the success of what we saw on the weekend, we're going to have international raiders in the Everest next year. And you probably only need what? She's one from America, one from Europe, one from Japan. It'd be perfect, wouldn't it, Duff?
Yeah, look, it's all
that'd be right, wouldn't it? That's all you need.
The most. They've got to be good enough.
Well, that's the other thing. They've got to be good enough, which means they've got to do their deal with a slot holder and so on and so forth.
And if they do
well,
it right.
I read that,
Sorry.
Yeah, I read the paper this morning, and I think it was the Australian, Brendan Cormick, said a French consortium have offered one of the slot holders $1 million for their slot next year. So I don't know if there's any legs to that, but that was quite interesting.
Yeah, it's, and I've stated on this program before, the wheeling and dealing and the horse trading to get, yeah, it's all been quite fascinating for me. I've enjoyed that part of the Everest as much as I enjoyed Saturday as well. Let's go down to line five and say good morning to Dion. Hello, Dion.
Yeah, good morning. TK, boys, how are you?
Morning, Dion.
G'day,
good. Dion. Yeah, mate, I just wanted to have a chat to you about the 10th race at Sydney, Grand Condor, that got up. I think it was Rachel Hunt's first race.
Yes.
In the city, and she got a winner. But I just wanted to say the whole day was amazing. I'm not really a big punting fan, but I got up early Saturday morning and listened to your programs and got my tips. And I had a quaddie on. I only put $20 on it, but I had a quaddie. Got the first three legs, and I had the chance of either pulling out or sticking with it. And I remember the boys in the morning saying anyone could win that race in race 10. So I decided to pull out and pulled out a couple of hundred, and then I had 10 each way on Grand Condor, mate. And I tell you what, it was a thrilling way to end. I think it paid nearly $100 for the win.
$1.01.
Yeah, and just an amazing day like that. You know, because of the build-up, I'd been in Sydney for a few days and listened to the build-up of the Everest, and mate, just an amazing day, and one of the best things I've done in a long time. But to get some luck, I think from $30, I won just over 1,000.
Good
so,
stuff.
Good day.
Good on you, Dion. You've got a couple hundred I can have.
Thanks.
You're not allowed to snip the
callers, sorry.
Callers,
you can't
TK.
Snip.
It's not part of the rules.
I try.
He bars no one.
I gathered.
Yep, you've got to try. Look, Dino and Duff, it's been wonderful. I've got to admit, Dino, it's not really the sort of place that everyone pulls together in the one direction, Sydney. So, right. Because there's so much self-interest and it's all about, you know, yourself, you know, and trying to make sure you can look after your mortgage and whatever. But let me tell you, I've never seen the spirit of cooperation across the media and the general public in a build-up to a new event like this.
It's great to see them wanting it to work.
Well, we find a negative mostly, mate.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, it'll be no good. Or who cares? You know, I've got other things to do and blah, blah, blah. Look, and we all fall into that boat, but I can't believe the positivity in the lead up to this event.
So. I just think this morning, in the spirit of cooperation, we should give Dino a chance to talk about the Caulfield Guineas bit anyway.
Sorry, it's just we've been running out
when
of time.
When they win at 100-1, you often want to forget them anyway. But.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, because I was on Kemantari for my life.
Yeah, you weren't alone.
Go through it for us if you can, mate. Give us your thoughts on the Guineas.
Well, they just, it was just, we thought with horses like the Mission and those sort of horses that would be run at a fast speed. Well, it was run at an unbelievably fast speed, and it was just luck in running coming to the turn. And the winner, who he's always been a talented horse, but I didn't think he'd be quite winning the Guineas, but he got the breaks at the right time. Kemantari, I think, was just going to win the race, and a couple of things happened. One, he got bumped pretty badly on the home turn when Paras came out, bumped El Pasim onto him, and then he
got
sort of
twice,
got
twice. I reckon he got knocked.
He got
twice.
Him twice, yeah. and it just he was just blending around the bend beautifully, and it just got him off his rhythm. And then he got left in front pretty quickly, and I think he wanted to lay back down to the inside, and Mighty Like just kept chipping away at his task, and probably was a bit truer to the line.
Yeah. Snuck up on the inside, don't think went around a horse, and so nice ride by Michael Walker and Mighty Boss at 100-1. Not often we get 100-1 winners. We had one in Melbourne and also in Sydney, and Kemantari, stack full of ability, Ronnie, but
yeah.
Catchy was good for third as well, and Royal Symphony was the unlucky runner of Melbourne's meeting as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, I thought Lavendi was equally as unlucky in the Guineas. He had no luck at all. I know he was a bit of odds, but both of them had traffic issues at the home turn. Catchy had a really good run and just proved it was a very fast mile, but she just didn't quite get the mile. I think she'll freshen up maybe for the Coolmore, but it was a funny sort of race.
And I mentioned Darren Weir earlier about training. Obviously, admire Rucky, but this Toss and Stardom, he's found the trick on the weekend anyway. It was the old the very best Tossum Stardom that we saw.
Yeah, we had Barrier 16 to contend with, and he was never going to get in, but he just, it was probably a good place to be in that race. The leaders started to paddle on straightening, and he just came into the race pretty... Pretty much Damien Lane was in the same spot he was on Kemantari, but this horse, he ran right through the line and won. Sovereign Nation Petrology ran well there. That they can pull out runs in that sort of race. But, yeah, it was certainly Tosin Stardom's day, and he just needed to get the right run, and that's exactly what he got.
Let's go back to callers, if we possibly can. Ronnie Duffacy, Dean Lesner, our experts. Hello, Cam. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, thanks, Cam. You got something for the boys?
Yes, actually. Just wanted to call and talk to you about Brave Smash. Now, Brave Smash supposedly wasn't even meant to be in the race.
Why not?
Because of the bad runs that he had in Melbourne. But I reckon because of the 5% that they promised for the Mark Hughes Foundation, and that good energy and that good karma, the Lord from up there just put him in third position, and he made a good load of money for the organisation and for everybody involved in it.
There's the upside, mate. Even more positivity coming out of the Everest. That's right. The ATC, Duff, giving 5% of the prize money to the Mark Hughes Foundation, which helps fight brain cancer. It's a wonderful cause. So well done to the ATC. And look,
Australian Bloodstock,
And Jamie Spencer, who came out from England,
rode him well.
I mean, it's all part of trying to add that international flavour. I would have found a local jockey, but he rode it well.
Yep. Do we know what he thought of the day, seeing he's travelled the world, Jamie Spencer?
He was quoted as saying he thought it was unbelievable. So he'll go home and spread the gospel.
I think he's one of those workmanlike kind of guys, Dino.
Yeah, no, I've interviewed Jamie. He doesn't say a lot.
No, he doesn't.
No.
He's better than... I've just had a mental blank. It's been a big weekend. 13. Ryan Moore.
Ryan Moore, yeah. Oh, there's been a few.
Yeah. No, Ryan's up there. I mean, they travel the world. It's their job. They just punch out.
Who's that man that was... winners wherever they go. The Coolmore rider, and he had a few issues with substances and things. I was trying to think about 10 years ago, and I was lucky enough I had to interview him at Fed Square in front of about 10,000 people.
And
he didn't give me a laugh. No. He rode Yates, and I can't remember.
But, yes and no.
One on California, Dane. Anyway, he was hard work to say the least.
Yeah, they just take it all in a day's work. I saw him interviewed after it. Yeah, he gave it a thumbs up, but, you know, like, he's not the sort of one you want shouting from the rooftops promoting your event. He's certainly not a Peter Valandis, let me tell you that. 13-53-53, the open line. Let's keep taking calls. We're enjoying them. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Look, Peter Valandis, what a job he's done. Absolutely marvellous. But I noticed his comment was that the object was to get people to the races, you know, under 30.
Yep.
Well, that's terrific, but for old dinosaurs like myself, I go to watch the races, and at Brandwick you can't because there's only four rows of seats in that grandstand. And the last time I went Winks race, they had security on the door because it was all full. You know, like I can go down the lawn with those young girls, but, you know, I'd be listed age, gelding, prefer others.
No, take the opportunity to stay down in the lawn with the young girls.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You know, I'm 73, so I can't go to Randwick anymore because there's nowhere to sit. You know, I can't sit in the... There's nowhere in the grandstand's too small. I go to Flemington, you're on the winning post. It's unbelievable. Randwick used to be like that, and you blokes might remember the open stands.
Yes.
You know, back in the 60s and 70s in the Queen Elizabeth stand. But
John, if you take your posse early enough, you can still get a seat at Randwick.
No, you can't, Terry, because you go up there and you want a better Caulfield.
Well, see, I do everything on my phone now. So I can sit in the one spot and do things. Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Terry, the other thing is you want to see fluctuations and
all that. Well, you can get that on your phone as well.
What I'm saying, you know, it's I don't know, they can't do anything about it. So I just have to stay home now. It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, I feel for you. Because, you know, as a hardened race goer, you deserve to enjoy a day like the Everest. But, yeah, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go in the world at a major event, the bigger the crowd, the harder it is to get around, to get a drink, to get some food. And That happens anywhere in the world, particularly with the rules and the regulations that are in force in this country. It makes it extremely hard. Good on you, John. We do thank you for your...
Not at Flemington, it doesn't.
With the grandstand knocked down, it will.
Yeah, it's hard to get around at Flemington, John. It's extremely hard to get around at Flemington. And it's blessed with beautiful big open spaces and big grandstands, but they get the big crowd and it's hard to get around.
Very hard.
Yeah, anywhere where there's 100,000, it usually is, Terry.
It is. Well, I tell you?
Kieran Fallon's our man.
Kieran Fallon.
Thanks to Joel.
Kieran Fallon. Churchill Downs, 165,000 people the day I was there. You could get a bed easily. You could get a drink easy. It was amazing. It was falling down at the time. I think they've rebuilt it in the meantime. But you could do everything. It was absolutely quite amazing. 1353. Maybe staff's cheaper there. Hello, John. Good morning.
Oh, hi. That's me, is it?
Yes, it is you, John.
Yeah, good morning. Look, I'm absolutely thoroughly disgusted with the horses of the weekend, so much so that I think I'll give it away. Why don't they use some common sense and start Chiwakwa over, say, 1,300 or 1,400? He's hopeless over 1,100, 1,200. He couldn't beat me.
Well, he's won three... John. You're talking about... Chautauqua's won three TJ Smiths over 1,200
metres. Yeah, but he's 7 years of age now. The last 2 years, he hasn't won a race over 1,200 metres.
Mate, on a...
At all.
On a track that wasn't leader bias, it still probably wins.
Pardon?
On a track that wasn't leader bias, Chautauqua still probably wins on the
weekend. He won't win under 1,200, I'll tell you now. Now, what about the disgraceful run by Bonneville? How would it get trot on when it's running last most of the way?
There you go.
It looked a match race between Hartnell and Bonneville. And I'm really thoroughly disgusted. I thought you'd bowled in the way you won the previous two races.
Well, don't.
That's nothing.
Don't jump off this weekend. John's a bit disgruntled, Dino. Did you get that impression?
I don't think you had a good day.
Yeah, he covered it up pretty well, but it wasn't ideal. Duff, what about with Chautauqua? There's obviously something that prevents them from training him to go over further, I would say. And that's why they keep him short, and that's fine. What about blinkers or something to just maybe keep him a little bit in touch early?
Yeah, he's seven. Did they try that? Hasn't he had blinkers on before?
He might have.
Think he goes a lot harder than what you think once he grabs the bit.
Oh, he does. And look, he's run an amazing race. I mean, it's fractions with him, isn't it? Like he's such a great horse, but such a heroic. You feel he's got so much to do from so far out.
Yeah. I think the other talking point out of this meeting, is the 6 metre rail, but sometimes you get too wide on this 6 metre rail. It does seem to be a little, well, I hate the word quicksand, but it's not as fast out wide. So is that something they're going to look at as far as, I know they've got Group 1 racing leading into this meeting and they like to go the normal 3, 6 and probably 9 this week or 8 or 9 this week. I'm just not sure that's 100% right rail position for this meeting, even though there's only 12 runners. I just feel there was a bit of talk about it probably wasn't the right space to be, but I'm no curator and I think that's another thing that deserves being talked about anyway.
Well, with the dry weather, Ronnie, I think it's just stating the fact that it's been very, very difficult for backmarkers in recent times with the times they're running, and I think you've stated that many, many times. He's been hanging on. We've got to get to him if we can. We've got a board full of callers, but Kurt takes priority. Hi, Kurt.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Good, mate.
That's the way. Did you see that horse win the first down at the heat that you were bagging me about last week when I called in about the Wodonga trial?
No,
yes,
mate.
That was the horse that you mentioned, yes.
Yeah. No, beautiful form around it, so I couldn't go around it.
Good.
Dino?
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, has the actual field for the Sapphire come out down there?
No, I don't think it has yet, Kurt, no.
It's Summer Passage is in it, isn't it?
Yes.
After it was scratched from Saturday?
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, and do you know the other ones that you think that would be in there?
Those horses that ran there, I did it again, Bandipur, those couple, Jukebox.
Yeah, so they will back up.
Well, Jukebox hasn't raced for about a month, so he'll be there. He trialled last week and went very well, Jukebox. He's in good shape.
And with Property's beautiful trial last week, will that stump up this weekend, Dino?
Yeah, I think it's going to run Saturday in the Caulfield Sprint against the older horses, over 1,000 metres.
Oh, cool. And Duff, just one for you, mate.
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, I think you were on holidays when I spoke to Dino about...
Well, it's 6 months of the year. Narrow it down.
...champion called Batash.
Who?
Batash. It won a Group 1 on Arc Day there. Beat a beautiful horse there. I just want to put it out there, Ronnie. I reckon this horse looks beautiful for next year's Everest.
So it's a sprinter.
Yep, they were 2,000. He won on debut by the length of Oxford Street plus more. Then he won that beautiful Group 1 race there on Arc Day. Both 1,000 metres, Ronnie, but I think Charlie Hills can do something with his horse, mate.
That might be where this French consortium's coming in trying to buy a slot already for next year. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Involved in that, Kurt?
Yeah. And Ronnie?
Yes, one more.
Sorry, just one more. I know I've had about this horse, but do you think Demerara will be nomford down in Melbourne this spring or not?
I'm interested, yeah. Would there be a little listed race or something there? I hope they just go the lower path there, and I think she's not bad, that filly. I hope so, Kurt. I hope so. I like the Rosehill win.
Yeah, right. I put her in the same class, maybe a bit better than the horse that won yesterday, Banish of Godolphins down there. Did you see it?
I heard it, but I didn't see it. So, look, I will go back and have a look at it. But, yeah, I think you're on the ball. I think you're on the ball.
Good on you, Kurt. Always nice to hear from you. Ronnie, have you got one to follow for us?
Well, it's getting close to the end of it. I can't. Well,
it doesn't matter where they are, mate.
Yeah, well, I'm just going with the bleeding obvious. I'm going to back Vega Magic and all the big sprints.
Okay.
No matter who rides it.
Dino? Yeah.
Well, I've thought for a while Eloisa will win the Oaks, and I'm not dropping off there.
Well found that day.
Yeah, she was good odds on the way through. Yeah,
yep. And well done, mate.
Other than that, TK, he's testing the patience, but I thought Hellbent still ran well on Saturday.
Okay.
I still think there's a race for him at Flemington.
And moment there, I thought you were going to say Dibiani.
Yeah.
Him or Tom, I didn't mention either of them.
And I won't hold you to this because it's 7 days, or whatever, 6 days away. Caulfield Cup?
Oh, I'm with Bonneville.
Okay.
Don't worry
about Saturday is what you're saying, yep.
I thought you set a big task on Saturday, and she ran well.
Ronnie, Caulfield Cup?
I think the code pullers are going to get me.
The Japanese horse.
Yeah, I'm on.
TK's excited.
Yeah, I am. Craig worries.
I think they're going to get me.
Yeah. Good on you. Well done. And keep an eye on Pumpkin Pie as well. He had no luck at Rambic on the weekend. And don't drop off Washington Heights. There's so many horses. It's been such an exciting edition of Punters Postmortem. To all our text messages and callers we didn't get to, I've got to apologise, but the popularity of Duff and Dino just sort of skyrockets. So we can only thank you. Thanks, Duff. Thanks, Dino.
Good on you,
guys.
That's this Punters Post-Mortem edition on this Monday morning as we build up to the Caulfield Cup and Andrew Bensley, Sean Cosgrove and the gang across Sky Sports Radio. We're keeping you up to date with all things Caulfield Cup, then the Cox Plate, then Derby Day, Melbourne Cup. It's so exciting.